two independent firms that monitor the threat posed by international hackers have said in independent reports that India is being severely threatened by state-sponsored Chinese hackers, which are looking to make inroads into not just the power sector, but also into the pharma sector. The Serum Institute of India and Bharat Biotech, which were rolling out the COVID vaccines in India. Now, the government, while acknowledging that the threat does exist, says that there has been no breach of the power sector so far, but they haven't yet responded to the reports that two leading Indian pharma companies may also be targeted. Now, let's give you a little bit of a background on this. On the 12th of February this year, India's National Critical Information Infrastructure Protection Center alerted India's power ministry of an imminent threat by Chinese state-sponsored hackers. In their letter, the protection center said, and I quote, "Chinese state-sponsored threat actor group known as Red Echo is targeting the Indian power sector's regional load dispatch centers and state load dispatch centers. What's more, all IPs and domains which represented the threat have been blocked in a firewall at all control centers." Now, the clarification comes on a day in which a report by Recorded Future said, and I quote, "Since early to 2020, Recorded Future's INSICT group observed a large increase in suspected targeted intrusion activity against Indian organizations from Chinese state-sponsored groups. At this time, the alleged link between the outage and the discovery of the unspecified malware variant remains unsubstantiated. However, this disclosure provides additional evidence suggesting the coordinated targeting of Indian load dispatch centers and that other targets identified include two Indian seaports. What's more, we assess that targeting of Indian critical infrastructure poses significant concerns over potential pre-positioning of network access to support what? Chinese strategic access. Now, the government seems to accept this assessment and says the IPs mentioned in Red Echo related advisories are matching with those given in ShadowPad incidents already informed. ShadowPad is the name of the Chinese malware. Red Echo is the name of the group. Now, all of this comes on a day when Reuters has also been reporting that another Chinese state-backed hacking group has recently targeted the IT systems of Bharat Biotech and the Serum Institute of India, the two Indian vaccine makers whose corona vaccines are now being rolled out across India. The report says that a Chinese hacking group called APT10 has identified gaps and vulnerabilities in the IT infrastructure and supply chain software of both firms. Now, neither Serum or Bharat Biotech or the Ministry of Health have responded so far. Significantly, in a statement, the government of China has said, as a staunch defender of cybersecurity, China firmly opposes and cracks down on all forms of cyber attacks. Well, joining us now, Dr. Christopher Ahlberg. He's the CEO of Recorded Future. And the Recorded Future, of course, had come out with this attack, with this report on these attacks taking place. Now, Dr. Ahlberg, the government of India seems to suggest that thus far there's been no impact. But how strong do you believe the Chinese penetration of our infrastructure networks has been?
So thank you very much for having me. And I really love the summary that you put up front here. That was very well laid out compared to some other media outlets where maybe not so much. So that was awesome. Fantastic. We have observed this group, Red Echo, at Recorded Future all the way back to October of last year. Mm-hmm. We have notified the Indian authorities multiple times through that time period. And then obviously here per the dates of We timestamp it as February 10th rather than February 12th, but, you know, emails transmit and when right. People read it and so on. So we've notified the Indian authorities earlier on. What we are observing is a set of Chinese linked infrastructure that is receiving data from a series of very specific Indian power assets, as well as these two ports. We observed that certainly from October and back, through up until, you know, early February, when we sort of sent over our report to the Chinese authorities. We then kept observing their behavior beyond that. And up until as of Sunday, we still see this activity. So 2 days ago, we saw this activity coming from a few places related to what I believe is NTPC, the power company. So I'd like to think that the Indian government has been trying for sure to shut this down, but it's not all the way there shut down. And this is tricky. These guys are good at what they do, and the Chinese, and it's at least as of 2 days ago, it was not all the way shut down.
Dr. Ahlberg, what can they do with the access that they seek?
So that's obviously the question. In our report, we lay out that, look, this is not about espionage. It's not about monetary gain. You do this sort of stuff for a couple of reasons. You might be sort of pre-positioning is sort of the word, that you're trying to establish some level of connection into these power systems. You see that from the map in the report that we've sort of,
yes,
these are spread, it's spread across India. It certainly seems pretty strategically spread out. It's not random. You always, when you do analysis, want to put the difference between random activity and non-random. This is very specific targeting, and it's also geographically non-random. Once you do this, what are you trying to do? Literally, it could be pre-positioning to be able to do really bad stuff. It might be pre-positioning to signal. Maybe this they wanted this to be found. I sort of, you know, probably lean more towards the pre-positioning to be able to do things down the line. But it could very well equally be in signaling to just say, look, guys, don't mess with us. We can do something bad. So you can be on either one of side of those equations. And in fact, they could have had both objectives. Get in, establish connection. And again, it's a hard connection to get rid of. The Indian authorities in some cases have been able to block it, in some cases not. And the signaling is there, and it clearly worked.
Is India countering this? Because in your report, there seemed to be some sort of an Indian response looking at other aspects. For example, Chinese military hardware, Chinese military facilities. Does India have a robust counter in terms of hacking into Chinese systems?
So, look, I have to be careful there in terms of sort of trying to talk about things that I don't know enough about. And I'll say, I do not know enough about that. The Chinese are good about what they do both defensively and offensively. There's been a long history. You should read the Xi Jinping speeches from 2012 on about sort of protecting cyberspace.
Yes, they've
been looking at this. So they know what they're doing. I do not know anything about, or at least not in any meaningful way, about the offensive capabilities of the Indian military. I think you guys should be getting ready.
All right. Stay on with us, will you? Because I think the rest of this discussion will interest you. Joined by Jitin Jain, cybersecurity expert, and Brahma Chelani as well. Dr. Chelani, you know, this is a frontier we don't talk about. We only talk about tanks and missiles and the border and the line of actual control. This goes right through all of that. How prepared do you think India is?
Well, countering cyber warfare is determined by two things. The first is the mindset, including policies, strategies, and the political will. And the second thing is technologies, the tools. If a country has an overly defensive mindset, that can undermine the most powerful tools that it possesses. The fact is that India's overly defensive mindset encourages China to try and exploit Indian vulnerabilities, because there are no costs for China. India does not seek to impose costs on China for its aggressive behavior.
Right.
And cyber aggression is only one domain where India is facing Chinese aggression. As you know, India is simultaneously facing Chinese territorial aggression, riparian aggression, that is, river waters aggression. So there are multiple Chinese aggressions that are bringing Indian security under increasing pressure. And I think the only response to Chinese aggressive behavior would be for India to develop requisite deterrent capabilities. It should invest more in cybersecurity and also develop effective cyber capabilities so that can impose costs on China.
Okay. Jitin, how qualified and how capable are organizations like CERT in India or some of the other institutions which safeguard our cyber interests?
Well, Vishnu, it's a very difficult question, because if you look at the size of population, our means what we have invested in cyber, and the comparative response our agencies have delivered, I think we can say that they could have done better. They could have done more instead of just merely issuing alerts and advisories. They should have done something in preemptive measure, especially NCIIBC, which is responsible for critical infrastructure protection. So that's one response. But second thing, before we go ahead, I want to bring you back on the Recorded Future report. So you see, we all know Recorded Future is one of the most credible companies in the world, which have huge experience of traffic analysis and network tracking. So there are three points in the report. One is the attribution of these groups to Chinese states, so which is they have done using tactics, techniques, and the procedures they have deployed, and that is how by looking at those and then linking them to the previous activities of Chinese state-sponsored hackers, they have with high degree of confidence concluded that these groups are likely backed by the Chinese state. The thing what they have done is that they have done a very good timeline analysis which maps the entire activity, I think, from the late 2019 post 370 abrogation in Kashmir to military conflict in Ladakh. And then they have established that look, Indian power sector and the transport sector were heavily infiltrated and targeted by Chinese, and which I think Indian agencies are also confirming that attack did take, and there were evidences of exploits and malware, but they remain unactivated, or probably they did not do much harm at that point of time.
And the third point?
These couple of findings, we both agree. Now, there is a third point. Whether the Mumbai grid collapse or the Mumbai power attack is a related incident, I think what
the government has denied it. They've acknowledged the Chinese threat, but they've said the Maharashtra, the power minister, power ministry has in fact said that there was human error which caused that.
Yes. So this is what I'm trying to say, that these may be two unrelated separate incidents, but that does not degrade the threat in question.
Not at all.
We should be equally careful that if that did not happen with this, I think something worse could have happened with what was available in the domain. So I think what is more important is two things. A, do we as a country continue to allow to Chinese investments heavily in the power and telecom sector? The dependence what we have in telecom and power sector on Chinese equipment is extremely worrying. Second, what is the responsibility of our agencies? Should they have come out with a public statement so that we don't speculate? I think it would be better that if there is little more transparency by the government, especially by NCIIBC, in actually what may have happened. So we all must stop speculating.
No, I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. I just wanted to get Dr. Chilani in with the last word over here. I've got 1 minute left on this program. There's no interface, Dr. Chilani, between those who defend us from cyber attacks. There's an interface with every other arm of the government. Is that a problem? We really don't know what India is doing, if India is doing anything to protect us against a cyber threat.
First, I think we should bear in mind that security agencies have been warning successive Indian governments that reliance on Chinese power and telecom equipment would turn into a major security risk. And that's exactly what's happened, that India now faces a major security risk because of its over-dependence on Chinese power and telecom equipment. In fact, India today faces serious cyber sabotage and surveillance risks. The second thing that we have to bear in mind is that these attacks that are happening in a systematic manner. For example, just 9 months ago, in a five-day period in June, the Maharashtra Cyber Department recorded more than 40,000 cyber attack attempts. Most of them could be traced to the Chengdu region of China.
Right.
And all these attacks attempted to penetrate critical infrastructure, not just the power sector, but also the banking sector, for example. So there is a pattern that has emerged, a systematic attempt to penetrate critical infrastructure in India. And to make India aware of India's vulnerabilities.
No, I need to wrap this up, but I take your point, Dr. Chilani, that this has been going on for too long. We know what exactly the problem is, where exactly it's coming from. The question is, are we doing enough? And perhaps we need to know, for starters, that we are doing enough. That remains a huge issue. Jitin, I know you want to jump in. I'm going to have to say no.
Just one line.
Yes, go ahead.
I think this trusted telecom equipment and the emergency telecom directive from the cabinet a couple of months back could not have come at a better time. it is now time to implement it with full force so that we only import trusted equipment and ban everything that comes from hostile nations like China.
All right. So let's see if that does take place. It's supposed to. Thank you all very much, Dr. Alba. Good to have you on the program. We'll take a short break. More coming back.